This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, the next story is, you know, the police have introduced new SOPs to handle persons with autism. This is following the case of Ahmad Zikri Murshidi last year. A quick recap on what happened. Zikri, someone who, an individual with autism, was arrested last year for touching a woman's chest after a birthday celebration at a restaurant. He spent a night in prison. Now, the police were criticised for handling that case poorly, and NGOs called for the police to rethink the way they deal with autistic persons.
A task force was set up for 6 months shortly after the incident, and they engaged with experts to advise them on how to move this forward, I suppose. And IGP Tan Sri Muhammad Fuzi Harun basically said, in order to overcome such problems and to ensure it doesn't recur, this committee's been set up for cases involving autistic children so that the SOP will be complied with. And I think it's excellent that there is going to be an SOP, because the issues surrounding this at the time were just, there seemed to be a fundamental lack of understanding of where Zikri's level of understanding would have been, right? That this is an action, if it were committed by somebody who was not on the spectrum, for example, it would be considered a different sort of action. And we do need to make those sorts of considerations.
Yeah, and I think those considerations have to involve multiple aspects, right? Whether it's dealing with, someone who is on that spectrum, who could just be a bystander, who could be a victim, or, well, in this case, the perpetrator, right? So there is a need to respond properly. Of course, Malaysia isn't alone to not knowing how to properly do it. So I'm glad that they've taken this step and have engaged with stakeholders to do so.
And it's crucial that, I suppose, our police in particular have this, because they are often the people who will be involved in heated heated situations, right? Yeah. Where people's tempers are running hot, where everybody's anxious. So hopefully the SOP can account for that.
Now, we have on the line Faylina Mohamad Faisal, Chairman of the National Autism Society of Malaysia, or NASOM. Thanks so much for joining us. Now, you were part of the committee in drawing up the SOP. Could you give us an insight as to what's in it?
So the SOP, the police SOP, basically is taking into consideration of how the police would treat if they were to arrest anyone on the autism spectrum or anyone with neurodevelopmental disorders. For instance, you know, when you come across somebody who has autism disorder, they might not be able to answer you direct. They might not even want to look into your eyes. Whereas for the police, the first sign of guilt is not looking into your eyes, for instance.
Right. So how will the police be trained now?
So what's happening now is we are training the police first to understand what is autism. And to understand that the people with autism would have different ways of seeing things. For instance, they'll be shaking, they'll be moving, they won't be looking at you, they won't be standing still. They would not answer, they would not understand even the word stop, you know, stay put or stay, you know, things like that. So we are training them to be aware that there are people with autism and they might not be able to understand or listen to instructions. More importantly, their reaction will be different from anybody else.
Are they trained on how to identify and approach someone with autism? How is that training done?
The training, basically, our SOP follows very closely with the SOP of the British police. And a lot of times, it's actually been written quite specifically about how do you deal with people with autism. So they will be trained in a way that basically to be aware. Firstly, I think the most important with our police is the awareness of people with autism and what are people with autism, what are their characteristics. I wouldn't be able to say whether they would recognize, but the most important is they have to be aware.
And I assume that, you know, whatever the approach would be, it would be different depending on whether the person might be a victim, a bystander, or, you know, perhaps even the one arrested. Could you explain how that would differ?
I think there will be three circumstances. One, if he's being accused of doing something. Two, if they're a victim. Or three, they're a witness. right? So the SOP actually goes into all three, the do's and don'ts for all three. So that's quite interesting to see. It's quite specific, in fact. The fact that, you know, their line of questioning, how to question, how to arrest, how to bring the person to the police station, for instance. And even if you do have, in the worst case scenario, where they have to be arrested, how to arrest and things like that. And including even for the ones who are missing. Sometimes you get, you know, autistic people, autistic children missing. So they are even given trained to how to even look for people like this, yeah.
So in Zikri's case, he was still treated like, you know, anyone else by the police, despite his mother explaining that he was autistic, you know, signaling that he needs a different approach. Where does that happen?
Different circumstances for different things. You must understand with Zikri's case, the police actually followed their SOP. And their SOP is specifically, if it's in that nature, this is what they should do. The thing was with Zikri, even though the mother did say at that moment in time that he is autistic and so on and so forth, he actually did not even have his OKU card on him at that time. So perhaps the way the policeman treated is not quite right. But I cannot really blame them because they did not have any other avenue because they followed their SOP. So with this, perhaps it would be much easier for them first to be aware that the person they arrest might not be what we call normal, but they could be somebody with higher needs or special needs.
And this, of course, extends further into the justice system, right? So when we look at things like the courts and the prison system, what do we have to change in order to deal with people with autism?
At the moment, what is being done is actually just the SOP and the police procedure. It's actually the SOP and guidelines how to deal with people with autism. At this moment, we have not gone into the laws. We've not gone into the court system. At the moment, it's just when the police questions, arrest, meet the person and bring them. That's it. So the hopefully we're looking forward. In fact, we are hoping we can get it taken further into the legal system and make it into the act and into the law.
What kind of support is available for people with autism when incidents like these happen?
That's the problem. We've not come to that yet. I mean, the parents who have the means would have their own lawyers and things like that. But other than that, I mean, legal aid is always there. It's the person who needs to know where to find them. And that's the biggest problem, I think. In a lot of cases, especially the ones who are from the lower income or from the ones who are not in the know, I don't think they would know how to get legal aid that easily.
So what do you think is the next thing we need to focus on when it comes to people with autism?
I think the biggest focus that we need at the moment is the awareness. Because people with autism see things differently, react differently, and do things differently. And if we could get the awareness that these people sometimes, in fact, most of the times, do not understand the way the world lives, the way the social people see them, and how public perception is. And if the public, civil servants, police, services and all that understand and aware of how different these people are, then these people will have a chance to have a voice.
Faelina, thanks so much for your thoughts. That was Faelina Muhammad Faisal, Chairman of National Autism Society of Malaysia, or NASOM. After this, it's Skip Intro, so make sure you stay tuned for that. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.